Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Today's podcast features the one and only Darius Arya, an archaeologist based in Rome. How cool is that? And in this episode, Darius is going to take you on a tour of the ancient heart of Rome, the Roman Forum. Enjoy.
A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. Now, I'm standing on the Velia Hill, and I'm going to make my way down along the Via Sacra to go to the Roman Forum, the heart and soul of ancient Rome. So let's go take a walk. And there are so many different periods of history that we can contemplate because we're getting a lot of them at the same time. I'm walking down the steps of the Temple of Venus in Rome, last rebuilt by the Emperor Maxentius. Of course, he's going to be killed by Constantine at the Milvian Bridge in 312. Walking down along the Via Sacra on the Augustan level, I see around me left and right are the various globs of foundation work for a higher, elevated porticoed walkway of the Via Sacra. So people come here from all over the world. What was Imperial Rome like? What was it like going down the Via Sacra? Well, it was something extraordinary. It would have been a multicultural experience. It would have been, you would have heard sights. You would have heard sounds of people from all over the empire. You would have seen different forms of dress, different, just different rhythms, different smells, different worlds. People are coming here to Rome, they're coming to the Roman Forum. And the Roman Forum is then the social epicenter of Rome. It's the political epicenter. It's one of the religious epicenters. And just think about all this attention over time and the space that is going to be built up over time, reconstructed, even recycled over time. But it really is one of the most historical places in the entire ancient world. And of course, if you're a student of Latin and Greek, you can say, well, hey, I know that there's a speech by Cicero, or this declamation by some emperor. And then, of course, it's hard to always be able to place every single moment in time because we're left with different periods better or worse in terms of preservation. Some sites we refer to in the literary sources, they're totally obliterated, or we're guessing with what we've got left behind. So that's what makes the Forum experience kind of a big puzzle. But rest assured, the Romans were really proud of their history. They were proud of their humble origins. And they preserved, in many cases, a lot of those stories and traditions and located them in specific points with specific actions that over time accreted further meaning and new purposes with the progression of Rome from basically a modest village to a republican city-state of success to the capital of a great empire. Let's take a look at a couple of those spaces. So the Roman Forum might be a place of social and political gathering, a place for contemplation assemblies, riots, but it's also a place where the gods appeared. And that's really the definition of epiphany. It's this moment of divine revelation, and it takes many forms. And from those moments, actions are recorded, and the history of those moments is going to be perpetuated, and there are going to be specific monuments that the Romans continually rebuild. However modest those monuments might be originally, the Romans are going to maintain them throughout their history, even when it becomes this capital city of an enormous empire. They do not forget their humble origins, and they do not forget that very early on, the gods are favoring the Romans, the gods are favoring Rome. And in this case, we'll take a look at three of these incredible monuments, the Mundus, the Lacus Curtius, and the Lacus Iuturnae. The Mundus is a monument that's attributed to the time of Romulus, according to the Romans. And so the story goes is that in the western side of what is the Forum today, near where there is the comitium, in the construction of this outdoor space where the senators could gather and ultimately address public assemblies from, it's Romulus that's going to be following customs, things that are handed down to him from people in Etruria, to dig a trench around the comitium. So you have this circular trench into which then the first fruits of harvest are going to be contributed, deposited in this trench. And anyone who's a newcomer to Rome, think that Romulus is assembling people from the outlying areas, even runaway slaves, come and be a part of this idea of Rome. He's saying, bring a handful of soil from your homeland and also deposit this in this trench. And so it's this trench, this fossa, that is what the Romans call the Mundus. It's also the same word that the Romans use for the heavens. Ultimately, another source is going to define it as there being a vault over a construction in that same area, near the Comitium, near the Rostra, near the much later Arch of Septimius Severus. It's got a kind of a vault over top of it, like the vault of heaven. And you can go inside, and it's the ancestors of the Romans that determined that this is where you can have this opportunity to go into down below and commune in a space with the spirits of the dead on specific times of the year. So you get a combination of traditions then in a number of sources that are attributing, on the one hand, to the importance of the relationship with the goddess Ceres or the goddess of agriculture and grain, but also then the gods of the underworld. And it is Ceres' daughter Persephone who's going to be going down and living in the underworld for quite some time. And the Romans then attributing this all the way back to Romulus, their founder, this series of traditions is something that is part and parcel of what it is to be Roman, and also identifying in a very early period with this part of the Forum as some of its earliest beginnings and traditions. And when we do look at the archaeological evidence and we do look at this natural basin that is the Roman Forum, we have two rims of that basin, as it were. And on one side, we have on the eastern side, the House of the Vestal Virgins, the house of the king, we have the Temple of Vesta, very, very old in the tradition of Rome, along with the Regia. And now the opposite side, on the western end, we have on that very substantial shelf where people can build out and not worry about being waterlogged from a very early period. We have the Comitium, we have the original Curia, the Senate House building, and we also have attributed to that space this Mundus. And when we look for it in the archaeological record, we find a round brick structure, possibly all the way into the second or third centuries AD, right at the foot, let's say, of the imperial rostra. And that is where we then put together these sources in identifying as this Mundus space. So even in the imperial period, there is this connection going from, say, the 3rd century AD all the way back to the time of Romulus in the 8th century BC. That the Romans are interested in preserving a lot of their history, and they're not ashamed of modest beginnings. What they are, in fact, proud of is that they have this connection, a special connection early on with various deities. And of course, the agricultural divinity, Ceres, will be important, as well as a place to commune with the spirits of the underworld, where everyone is destined to go. Looking down onto the central piazza of the Roman Forum, you see the trace remains of various monuments now disappeared. But there's one depression that's quite large that's made in two different periods. The earlier one, you see it's more modest, and it is a tuff, or volcanic stone, a construction. This is for a fountain. And then there's a larger construction of that same fountain with travertine stone, and in fact, one piece of the balustrade that actually kept away the traffic from falling into the basin is still visible. It's actually a copy. The original's in the Capitoline Museum. So what it shows is a guy on a horse, and the horse is then jumping into a depression. And around the horse, there are little bits of reeds. You can tell it's a kind of a marshy setting. Now, the ancient sources of the Romans tell us that this is the Lacus Curtius. But of course, we'll see, it depends on which Curtius we're actually talking about. And what the Romans are all about with these monuments is that sites where incredible things happen, where there are epiphanies, there are miracles, they will accrete over time meaning. And it's not really up to us to say which one is correct. But we know from great events in history that depending on who's recounting that story, maybe centuries later or generations later, it can take on new life and new meaning to the person who's then recording that story. So Vera records the story that the Lacus Curtius is formed during the Sabine War, Romulus leading the Romans against the Sabines led by King Titus Tatius. This is already in the late 8th century BC. That's their tradition. And there's a Sabine warrior named Metius Curtius, and he's going to have to retreat from the Romans, and he makes his way away from the Palatine Hill, escaping through a marshy area, which eventually is going to be drained out and become the Roman forum. But the fact that he escapes from the attack of the Romans, goes across the marshy lands, and gets back to his fellow Sabines, is then the tale, according to Vero, how the spring got its name.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
This episode is sponsored by NPR and their podcast Black Stories, Black Truths. Now, this podcast is quite different to the ancients, but it's an incredibly meaningful one. Black Stories, Black Truths is home to the next generation of influential black voices celebrating blackness and the importance of black voices in the media today. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be black today, told from a unique perspective, and it is really eye-opening. I've just finished listening to their recent episode all about the legacy of Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, and how King's words have been used and reused by different politicians and political commentators in recent years, but all too often twisted to suit certain agendas. It is super interesting, and something I knew absolutely nothing about. Best of all, it was a really easy listen. An engaging host and knowledgeable expert topped off with nice sound design. So if this has tickled your fancy, go and check it out. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
And there's another story told by Livy of the same Lacus Curtius. And this is pretty amazing. So this is around 362 BC. So the story is that there's a cataclysmic earthquake or something, but anyways, in the middle of what will be the Forum area, what is the Forum area, there's a gaping chasm that opens up, and no one could figure out how to close it up. They try to fill it in with dirt to no avail. What's the deal? So by eventually consulting with priests, the interpretation is that this is a sign from the gods, and if Rome wants to succeed, if Rome wants to endure, they have to sacrifice right there whatever it is that gives them strength. And how do you interpret that? What do you sacrifice? And so the legend is that Marcus Curtius, a young soldier, said that what we really have, what is our greatest value, is our virtus, our manliness, our excellence, our bravery. And so what he does is he gets on his horse and he rides off into the chasm, sacrificing himself. And as a result, the chasm closes up, and what's left behind is a spring. And so to honor his sacrifice, the Romans call the Lacus after him. The spring is now forever known as the Lacus Curtius. So again, we're getting two accounts for one monument. Who's to say both can't be right? Now, by the time of Augustus, when people had made this out to be the wishing well for the good fortune and health of the Emperor Augustus, it's already dried up. Ooh, that sounds like a bad omen. But essentially, the tradition continues, and from all the coins that are drawn out from the dried up fountain, statues of gold are commissioned to honor the Emperor Augustus. I kind of like to think of the Trevi Fountain. And today, people go, this tradition of, when I come back to Rome, I'm going to throw a coin in over my shoulder. Well, people already have this tradition, I think spontaneously created. Walk by the Lacus Curtius, drop in a coin, wishing well the health of a given emperor. And it's a long-told tradition. So with the passing of time, traditions are added, epiphanies can be reinterpreted, and many moments of bad omen take place in the Forum as well. I think of the Emperor Galba being assassinated famously at the Lacus Curtius, and that is where his head was hacked off. Another layer of meaning for the Lacus Curtius. Beware to the rulers of Rome. The Lacus Juturnae, the Pool of Juturna. This is a water nymph with a varied mythological background. even being the sibling of Turnus who fights against Aeneas in the Aeneid. But definitely there is a spring of Euturnae, the Fons Euturnae, and then it's going to be attached to the Lacus Euturnae, the pool of Euturnae. So just like we have a spring filling up the Lacus Curtius, we now have another spring in the Roman Forum era. And this is very important because you need water when you're living in Rome. The hills of Rome are volcanic formations. You do not have any natural bodies of water or springs on top of those hills. You need to come off the hills. So you come off the Palatine Hill, you come off the Capitoline Hill, you come down into the Forum marshy area originally, but there are springs. So you decide it's a great place to conduct business. You start to fill it in, make it inhabitable, make it usable. But as always, you've got these springs, and the springs also have pools. Now, the Lacus Euturnae is really important because of a particular epiphany. And this is absolutely amazing. So you walk over to the eastern end of the Roman Forum today, and you have a sunken pool, the water's still in it. And you turn around behind you and you've got the massive three columns of the Augustan rebuild of the Temple of Castor and Pollux. Now, this is actually originally a Republican temple rebuilt last by Tiberius under the Emperor Augustus, but it is a fantastically large Republican monument that continues to have a profound impact visually on you when you come to the Roman Forum, because those three lunar marble columns are still standing. This is the temple as well that was used by the consuls, the elected executive officers of ancient Rome. And why is that temple there? Because, as the Roman tradition goes in several sources, in 499, the Roman army has won a battle at Lake Regulus. This is, you know, about 9 kilometers from Rome, not even. And the victory is won by the Romans. But before the Romans can send a messenger back to the Roman Forum, the story goes that two beautiful young men on gleaming white horses arrive in the Forum area, and they water their horses at the little Lacus, at the little pool. And they look like they've come away from a battle. People are saying, what's going on? What happened? And they announce the victory. That is then further corroborated by the arrival of a messenger from the war itself saying, hey, yeah, we won the Battle of Lake Regulus. And the Romans in the Forum say, yeah, we know. So this epiphany, this story, has so much weight that as a result, the Romans build to honor Castor and Pollux, who announced the victory. They build them that very large temple. And of course, who was responsible for winning that battle was the cavalry. So you can see that the patron gods of the cavalry are the ones that get this magnificent victory monument. But the tie-in is always with location. That's what's so fantastic about the Roman Forum, is that we can come and look at real spaces, real locations, and have those stories recounted again. So, you know, you can today say, I believe in miracles, I don't believe in miracles, I believe in epiphanies, in various forms of religion. We all have them. We ourselves live our lives and have things that we can't explain. Is that happenstance? Is that fate? Was I meant to do this? Did I have to turn left? Did I have to turn right? Well, for the Romans, they took this stuff very seriously. And again, it's another form of explanation for why they are so successful, because these amazing things keep happening to the Romans. And so many times it's through direct intervention from the gods themselves, in this case, Castor and Pollux. And to witness all of that, still today, we have these three magnificent marble columns that stand and really give a sense of scale and grandeur to the Roman Forum itself, which is in such a ruinous state. There are so many ways in which the gods communicate with the Romans in the Roman Forum. Sure, before any meeting of the Senate, the elected official can take the auguries to get a sign from the gods of Jupiter in heaven, and looking at the weather patterns, the flight of birds, the sound of thunder. But what about something really, really explicit, When we look around the forum, there are many occasions where the gods help negotiate life. For example, the Cloacina Monument at the foot of the Basilica Aemilia is perpetuated from the time of Romulus, say the Romans, all the way up to the last rebuilding of the Basilica Aemilia that lines one side of the Roman Forum in the Augustan Age. And it's a small, modest-looking, round shrine, but it's going to be marking that point between the land of the Romans and the land of the Sabines in the age of Romulus. So is the story. And you have it still preserved in marble construction in the Augustan Age, but it's a very, very old tradition. Going over to the central forum piazza, there are so many monuments that are erased, but the excavators in modern times decided to replant a vine, an olive tree, and a fig tree. And it's particularly interesting that fig tree that the Romans hone in on, that these things all grow spontaneously through the pavement of the Roman Forum itself, but it's that fig tree that recalls the Ficus Ruminalis, the tree that gave shade to the she-wolf that suckled Romulus and Remus at the base of the Palatine here, in the Palatine Hill nearby. But here, then, to have that fig tree grow up by chance, by fate, it's going to last a long time. These trees and also the olive tree last a long time. And when they die, it becomes an portent, a sign from the gods. Disaster is about to happen, and we have to then mediate that. We have to rectify that broken relationship with the gods. So these trees in the middle of the forum pavement that grow up are very important and traditionally appreciated and watched by the Romans for the signs from the gods. We can go over to the Regia in the eastern part of the forum. And the Regia is ascribed to the early kings of Rome, particularly the Etruscan kings, but eventually becomes, without the kings in the Republic, a place to hold various important shrines to Mars, to Conceiva and Ops. And there are, inside there, in a room, shields and a spear from Mars himself that are paraded around annually and in a special dance. But it is things given from the gods, from heaven, from Mars himself, to protect the Romans in time of need. And nearby, you have the construction of the, also on the eastern side of the Roman Forum, the poorly preserved remains of the Temple of Divine Julius Caesar. And this is a guy that wanted to be buried like everyone else, outside the city walls, outside the pomerium. But no, as fate would have it, the people, stirred by the speech by Mark Antony, standing on the rostra at the other end of the forum, motivates them to take his body and to cremate it right there in the heart of the Roman Forum. And in that very spot, you're eventually going to have a temple constructed, a temple of Divine Julius Caesar. And when the construction is taking place between 42 and 29 BC, what passes by overhead? Halley's Comet. Now, this has been verified. The interpretation at the time was there is the ascending soul of Julius Caesar going to join the gods. So the Roman Forum, in so many ways, is a place of epiphany. It's a place where the Romans would directly communicate with the gods, and the gods would communicate with them, sometimes even appearing, and of course, giving the Romans in the beginning what they needed most in their early city: abundant, fresh supplies of water. Lacus Curtius, Lacus Iuturnae. And the stories today, I think, still resonate with us. When we come inside to this archaeological park, we can see that history in real locations. Such is the richness of the Roman Forum.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Ancients. Please follow this show wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us, and you'll be doing us a big favour. Don't forget, you can also listen to all of these podcasts ad-free and watch hundreds of documentaries when you subscribe at historyhit.com/subscribe. As a special gift, you can also get your first 3 months for just £1 a month when you use code ANCIENTS at checkout.